Christmas is here, Christmas theme. I like to follow that. But before we get there, I want to point out something to you that when I heard it, it was an evidence of the world, the various nations of the world, their anti-Semitism. Okay? Now, the news report that I heard, this was back on Monday, that Russia had increased its attacks on citizens and utilities in the Ukraine. Now, what I've wondered is, why are we not hearing an outcry of the world about the Russians killing all of those citizens, like we're hearing about Israel and what it's doing to those Palestinians in Gaza? Why, you can't turn on a news program, but what you're going to hear, a 5 to 10 minute dissertation on what's happening. I haven't heard a thing about Russia attacking those citizens in the Ukraine. Now, I'm not speaking to defend the Ukraine. I'm not trying to be political here. I'm trying to show to you that the world is against the Jew. But that shouldn't surprise us, should it? Remember Haman and how he had set up a gallows to hang Mordecai, and he ended up being hung in his own gallows? What was that? That was anti-Semitism.
Right.
It's been in the Bible for, I was going to say decades. Let's try centuries. Okay? Centuries. And it continues today. Pathetic as it is. I'm waiting for the UN to rise up and rebuke Russia for increasing. And this is just increasing. Now listen, the Russians attacking citizens and apartment buildings. No evidence that there's a Ukraine underground tunnels there or anything of that sort. But you never hear a thing about it. You don't hear about it. All right, now that tirade's over. Told you I'm going to talk about Christmas. Christmas is about family time and friends. It's about singing Christmas carols. Sometimes people go caroling. I've known of families that did it. A family of 3-5 people, they would go caroling. Of course, churches many times have carolings scheduled, and so it's singing. What do we sing during December? We sing Christmas songs. And you know why we do that? We do that to keep the pianists on their toes, okay? Because there's something about the Christmas songs, okay, that have always brought, a touch of difficulty or something different about them. I'm not quite sure. I mean, it's been that way for, I can say it now, decades, okay? Christmas is about the Bible story, of course. The account of the events of what we call Christmas time. We read that in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2. And then in Isaiah 7:14, it is the prophecy that a Christ child, a baby, was going to be born and would be the provision of God for the people. Yes, the Bible story. I don't know what your family tradition is. I know ours was back when the kids were little, and of course all they wanted to do was, tear into the gifts under the tree. But you have to understand, that didn't go that way at our house.
That's right.
Oh, what we did, we had them sit in a circle, and then they each had a brown paper bag next to them. That's where the trash from the gift, that's where they went. And then each one opened a present. Like if we were doing it here, Randy opened his, we'd all see it. Then we moved to the next one. Then Tim opened his, and we'd all see it. But we didn't move from Randy to Tim until Randy put his paper trash in the bag. And, what did you expect at our house? Okay? Nobody lost any gifts.
I was in houses already of family members where it was just fun, you know. Ah, everybody move at once. And what'd you get? I don't know. I can't find it. And, oh, my. But before all of that fun began, okay, we'd open the Bible and we'd read either Matthew or Luke. And then we'd pray and we'd thank God for each other. We thank God for the gifts that we were able to get and give to each other. Amen. And so, Christmas, family and friends, singing, Bible story, counts of the events. Of course, what I just described as far as gift opening, that's going to fall under something yet coming, and that's traditions. But then there's food and fasting. No, not fasting. That was a mistake. Food and feasting. They both start with an F, but there's a world of difference. Now, you can feast, and the Bible talks a lot about feasts. And feasts means an abundance of food. It's more than a toasted cheese sandwich and a bowl of soup. I mean, it's like Thanksgiving dinner. That's what feasting is. And Christmas time has feasting. Now, we can't avoid gluttony during that. You can feast on the abundance without being gluttonous. Okay? And so I just throw that out there. And, of course, then I must narrow it down to cookies. Oh, my. The cookies. Pat used to have such a good time with the girls. They would, you know, the place was a mess. Monica is the one who has her mother's cooking and baking gene. But when she was going to be in the kitchen, Pat usually went somewhere else. Okay? Really, when she was learning, it was something else. And I'd say to Pat, where are you going? She said, I can't stay in there. I need to let her do her thing, but I don't have to watch it. And so she would leave. But cookies, my, the fun. Candy cane cookies was one of our family's favorites. It was an oatmeal based kind of cookie, and then they were shaped like a candy cane, and guess what color icing went on them? Huh? Can you? White and red. You get a sticker for being correct. And so it was such a happy time. I didn't expect this, sorry. But cookies, okay, and baking. My goodness, baking all kinds of things. And now, the last several years, Pat would buy me a fruitcake. How many of you like fruitcakes? One, two, three, four. Well, we're going to have them all. If anybody brings a fruitcake on Sunday, we're going to have it all, because there aren't many people that like them. You know, back years ago, we had a man, Charlie Swordout, that's for the Ford's sake there. Charlie Swordout, he worked for Stroman's, and he would bring me a fruitcake. That's how I learned to like fruitcakes. And just about the time I knew I liked fruitcakes a whole lot, he retired. Now I had to buy them, okay? And so Pat, I don't know, 4, maybe even 5 years ago, she began to get me a fruitcake. Now, she always told me, as a matter of fact, recently, you'll want to know this, I know, okay? But the bracket that holds the American flag outside of our house, the one that I finally got that cost me $13, $15, I avoided trying to do it, so I bought one that was only $8. And, of course, the weight of the wet flag and the wind, and it bent. Well, then I knew I had to go back and buy the right thing. And I could hear Pat saying to me, you know, you paid more than you would have had to if you'd have got the right one to start with. Oh. I don't know how many times she told me that. But, yeah, now that all came out of cookies. Now, how we got there, out of cookies is beyond me. But decorations, that's another thing. Lights and trees and so much more. Just like the church with all the nice white lights, okay? And you drive through the town. I know last year Pat had me drive her around town so she could see the lights because they're decorated. There's one street near us I noticed when I was leaving to come here. I think every house on that block must have some lights up. And so trees, Christmas trees, and so much more. I have a granddaughter-in-law who just loves to decorate. Now, she doesn't do it till after Thanksgiving, okay? And I think so too. A good night. The stores, as soon as Halloween stuff is gone, they start putting Christmas stuff out. And I think to myself, now wait a minute, there's another holiday in between. But they don't listen to me. I know they don't listen to me. How many of you go to Walmart and get so upset because where you put the shopping carts, okay, where you put the shopping carts in the corral, they're always in, helter-skelter. They're over where a car's parking. If there aren't any carts in it, I'll grab it and pull it into place. Well, I did enough of that for Walmart. I went and I asked to see the manager. Well, they wouldn't let me see the manager. They said, well, what is it you want to talk? I said, I want to talk about the parking lot. And so here's this old guy, and I understand what it looks like and what they're thinking. What's this old man want now? So I told him, look, when they tell your workers, when they take the carts out, okay, and before they bring them in, just grab those things and pull them in place. Oh, well, I don't know if they can do that. I said, look, I was 78 years old. I said, I'm 78 years old and I fix them all the time. Don't tell me they can't do it. You know what? They don't listen to me. It continues to be a problem. I continue to fix them, but it continues to be a problem. There was a car that was parked, the car corral was near to where the car was parked. You couldn't get the door open and get in. And I said to the person when the driver got out, I said, just a minute, don't worry about it. And fortunately, there weren't any carts. And I grabbed it and pulled it into place. You know what he said? Thank you. And so I was pleased about it. Anyway, I have a granddaughter-in-law who loves to decorate. She can't wait to decorate. And then I have a daughter who's not even sure she's going to put up her tree this year.
That's right.
Oh, my lands. You're going to talk about, you don't, now you get a tree at your house, Neil.
Unfortunately.
Your girls. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, indeed. They have a program on tonight about you if you want to watch them. Listen to me. There's no right or wrong about decorating. Let's make sure that there's religious stuff, and I'm going to talk about this more. There's religious stuff about Christmas, and then there's traditional stuff about Christmas. Now, I use the term religious, meaning biblical, okay? And then there's the traditional stuff. I mean, the way we do it in the United States is different than the way they do it in Holland, okay? The way we do it here, even on the East Coast in homes, can be different than the way it's done on the West Coast. That's just tradition. That doesn't matter. Now, when it comes to the biblical stuff, that matters. And so there's more things about Christmas, but I'm going to let that suffice. I want to talk about gifts and giving. There are sometimes subjects that I take into, fools rush in where angels fear to tread type of thing. And that could be, oh my goodness, I'm thinking back to years ago. I was on an extra anti-Santa Claus kick. Now, I'm still not a fan of him, okay? And you can get this track. This sort of cartoon track, the reason for the season, it compares Jesus with Santa Claus. Okay? Yeah, Santa Claus gives gifts. Jesus gives the best gift. Santa Claus only does it if you're nice. Okay? If you're on the naughty list, he doesn't do it. But Jesus, he'll do things even for naughty people. Yeah, that's a good little track, okay? But, so I've never been a fan of Santa Claus. And, oh, I don't remember what year it was. It was a long time ago. It was one of the experiences that I learned to maybe think first. Because we had a church full, and we had a lot of kids sitting in the pews. And after that message, they knew there was no Santa Claus. Now the kids could handle it. It was mom and dad. Really, I had one mom who still loves me, okay? She came up to me and she said, "What's wrong with the new?" And she said, "This and that." I said, "Your kids are gonna get the gifts anyway. They know about Jesus. Why do you have to have him in there?" And she wanted him. That's why she wanted him in. Well, now this is not an anti-Santa Claus message, but this can be controversial, this gift-giving business. There are those who are very much against giving gifts, besides Neil, okay? no, he's not against gift-giving. He's generous in that respect. But, you know, they're much against gift giving because they don't like the commercialization of Christmas. I agree with that. But just because you don't like one thing doesn't mean you have to eliminate everything. It's possible that you can exist in the midst of, I mean, what did Jesus even say? We're in the world, but we're not to be part of it. And so this whole thing with Christmas, anti-commercialization. I agree with that. And too much money is being made. It's, you know, the whole thing when a store has a big Christmas display, it's for the bottom line. Okay? The spirit of Christmas to them is cha-ting, cha-ting, you know, okay? And what goes in the till. And I understand that concern. But does that mean there is no room for giving gifts to others? It is true that we must have a biblical understanding about Christmas. Back in the Old Testament, that did tell about Jesus Christ coming and man's needing him. Go back to Genesis 3, is it what, 3:15, where there's the promise, the first promise that Jesus would come. And we must have a biblical understanding. The events of Christmas and why they were. But there is, as I said earlier, the traditional aspect of Christmas. And there is the American version, how we do things, and the German version. The English, they celebrate Christmas with some traditions different from America or Germany or any other country. It would be interesting to talk with Hank and Corey regarding some of the traditions that they had in Holland because of Christmas. Now, one approach, and this is just one man's opinion, where did it all come from? This one man feels that gift giving has its roots in pagan rituals that were held during the winter time. And when Christianity came along, Christianity folded these rituals into Christmas and then needed to come up with a justification for the giving of the gifts. And so they found the wise men in the story and the gifts they gave to Jesus. But in early modern Europe, Christmas also had some roots in it being a time for begging. Okay, and some of the caroling that went on. You can read some claims that the caroling was not just to sing, but it was people to go, you know, like trick or treat, only it was connected to Christmas. Now, rather than thinking of gift giving being a pagan practice that when Christians came along, they folded it. That's what the guy's term was. They folded it into Christianity. How about this? The Christians saw gift giving that, yes, was practiced in their pagan religions. But now they saw that this matter of giving to someone else had been elevated, not folded into, but elevated to a higher purpose. That it had a better purpose in giving a gift, whether to a family member or to a friend. I choose to think that that was as big an influence as what this guy here, and as what I said, is just one man's approach. Now we have two men's approaches, his and mine. Now, next thing is, when did gift giving become a Christian tradition? Around 336 AD. That's the date that I found when I searched for it. The date that December 25th appears to have been established as the day of Jesus' birth. And the tradition of gift giving was tied to the story of the Magi, or the wise men, who came and gave the Christ child. They didn't come to the baby Jesus. Oh, here, when you see this nice display and you see the wise men, they're there. They weren't at the manger. Okay? They came about 2 years later. Because you remember, the decree went out that all of the children, male babies, 2 years old and under, were to be killed. So that would have been about how old Jesus was when the wise men came. And but we put them at the manger scene because they're part of the whole Christmas story in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke, okay? And so that's why you see them all there. But you have to understand, they didn't come to the manger in Bethlehem. They went to the house where Joseph and Mary were living. Well, so that's about when 336 AD and December 25th was established. But you know, there's another part of the gift-giving story when it comes to history. You say, well, get on with it. What are you slowing up for? There was an actual bishop whose name was Saint Nicholas. You know where this is going, don't you? There was an actual bishop named Saint Nicholas, and he was a 4th century Christian bishop, and he was a gift giver. He was very generous in giving gifts. And that's why one of Santa Claus's name is Saint Nicholas, after this actual man of history. Oh, well, then it's okay to have Santa Claus. No, it's not. That's my opinion, okay? Now, the people at Grace Bible, they knew where I was about Santa Claus. And we had a man there, Ed McCleft, okay? He was a big man, and he had a Santa Claus suit. And when he was in Olean, he would wear that Santa Claus suit, that a store, a sub shop that he had there. And so you know what they did one time? And Pat had her camera handy. So I was set up. He made subs. And so for Christmas, he brought me a 4-foot-long sub. It was good. But he delivered it in his Santa Claus suit. And of course, I played along. Okay, you know, okay. He said, well, here, sit on Santa's lap and tell him what you want for Christmas. So I played along and snap, get that in a picture. Okay, there it is. You have the evidence. Pastor's a hypocrite. He says one thing on Sunday and he practices another. But that is part of history.
Yeah.
This fourth century bishop who was generous in giving gifts, and of course it slowly built into what we know today and is really not representative of the good bishop. So why does God want us to give? Giving is an integral part of the Christian life. You folks all know that this whole matter of giving, it's not foreign to you. You know what the Bible teaches on that. How we're to care about other people. We're to appreciate other people. We're to love other people. And when it comes to family and friends, Christmas time becomes a time. You say, well, you can do it any other time. Yeah, you can. But wouldn't you feel strange if a friend of yours came up to you in, let's say, February, not Valentine's Day either, but in February came up to you and gave you a gift? Well, what's this for? Well, I love you and I appreciate you and I wanted to give you a gift. Well, that can be done, okay? But you'd wonder, what's his angle? Huh? What's he gonna ask for, you know? We're at Christmas because indeed the wise men gave gifts to Jesus. It's fitting that we give gifts to each other. Now, I explained that to a fellow one time, and he said, well, that's all right, Pastor. But he said, they gave gifts to Jesus. We're giving gifts to each other. We're sort of leaving Jesus out, aren't we? I don't know what to answer him, because there's a way in which it's true. I discussed it with my wife. She had a solution that she practiced. Now, you folks know she wasn't the kind to get on a soapbox now and try and convince everybody else to do it. That's up to us preachers. Every year, I don't know for how many years, she would pray, Lord, who is it, in the sense of a person, or what group, meaning an organization, would you like me to give a gift to Jesus, as it were, at Christmas time? And for I don't know how many years, she would pray that, the Lord would put it on her heart, and then she would give. You know, don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. There were years I don't know who she gave it to. She just prayed and asked, and the Lord put somebody or some group, usually a ministry it was, on her heart, and then she wrote a check out. Send it to them. It was her gift to Jesus. She remedied that idea of he was being left out. And I guess I'd throw it out in case you might have difficulty with the gift-giving business. And if you're not convinced maybe that the foundation of it can be the wise men, well, then you might be able to use that to overcome that difficulty. Because in you, there's probably a part that wants to give to your children or grandchildren, nieces or nephews, each other. It's a wonderful thing that can be done to give to each other. Giving to each other. This was going to be a different Christmas. It will be. And about 2.5 months ago, I began to pray, and I asked the Lord to take care of Christmas for me. Well, at Thanksgiving, when I was down with the granddaughter-in-law that likes to do the decorating, after we ate, sitting in the living room, she came out with a long Christmas stocking. It was filled with little items individually wrapped. She said, Grandpa, we knew you'd be alone this Christmas, so we got this for you. Well, I get up in the morning, I'd read the Christmas accounts, I'd pray, maybe a little extra, and then I'd open that sock up, and then I said, Lord, I still got some time left. Will you take care of it? You know, God gave a special relationship between her, Pat, and Charity. And the Lord has allowed and has used Charity and Sam. He was out there with one of the kids, and he's gone now. But just like Santa Claus, he's there and he's gone. I wonder if he ate his cookies. Oh, there he's back. God has allowed, anyway, the bottom line is, I'm going to have them for breakfast on Christmas morning. Now, I said it's going to be Jimmy Dean frozen English muffin sandwiches, okay? And then Charity wondered about the kids that bought pancakes, and she said, I could make them up. I said, well, I have frozen ones that I use. She said, she's so easygoing. She said, that'll work. Kids won't know once they're thawed. And so, don't tell no, okay? And so, they're going to come, and I said, well, thank you, Lord. Now, that's special because of the relationship the Lord developed between Pat and she. And I thought, you know, it'll be great just to have someone here for Christmas morning. See, my grandchildren are all grown up. And the great-grandchildren, well, the one lives in Montana, okay? The other one in Georgia, so, you know, I can't get them. But Sam and Charity and the kids are going to come. And, you know, they're going to get to see my decorations. Because I decorated the living room. I put the tree up and all. Now, I did it before they were coming. I knew about them, okay? Last year I said to Pat, I'm going to decorate. She said, oh, don't bother. I said, no, I'll do a little bit. Well, this year I did the same amount and a little bit more, okay? And Nina comes once a week to see me, but she's the only one that saw all my decorations. Da-da-da-da-da-da! Now I got Sam and Charity coming, and they'll see the decorations. And I'll be able to make a breakfast for them. Okay, now still have an afternoon. Charity said, you know, after the Asquiths opened up their presents and all, she said, they play board games and have snacks. And you can come to that if you'd like. And I said, well, I'm not into board games. Old Pat would have loved that. But I'm not into board games, but I do snacking quite well. And so I'm looking forward to that. Yes. Now, she said it's rather noisy. I've been telling people it's planned pandemonium, okay? And I was like an only child. Yeah, my brother was 10 years older than me, an only child. You don't have a lot of noise when you're an only child. You heard me describe how our Christmases went, okay? And so not much noise there. And so I understand. I'm going to take my earplugs along in case I need them. I'm just kidding. What I just described with a bit of touch of humor, but very sincere, is an example of how God answers prayer. How God answers prayer. There's a lot of things God cares about. One thing I'm convinced is he cares about me. And he's evident to me in the way that he put together my Christmas. And I'm just thankful for it. Now, I don't know about you, but Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Apostle Paul said, quoting Jesus, and it was not a quote of Jesus, but it is tied to something Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen.
Amen.
Now here's my application of that. If Tim wants to have a blessing by giving, he's got to have somebody to give it to. And so I'm willing to receive. So he can have the blessing of giving. Think about that. Really. You know, now, I said it in great jest, but it's true. There's got to be somebody you're giving to, and they have to receive it. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us the gift of everlasting life. But we must receive it. The same as somebody at Christmas time, you give them a gift. Father in heaven. Now, I've brought to you these, or to the folks here, these thoughts about Christmas and gift giving.
Lord, it was mixed with quite a bit of humor. But Lord, all so true. And love us, and you show us that love, and how we then